praise God. Here another day. Good to see all your smiling faces. Good to see even some of the faces that are not smiling. So amen. So it's good to see you anyway, right? We thank God for bringing us here, another opportunity to grow in his word. For the order of my steps, you know, I heard a thing on the news about distracted driving, which is concerning when you think about that. You know what I mean? Especially with phones and just so many other things. Even before the phones came into play, people were distracted with other things when it came to driving. It's crazy how it is, how so many accidents just from turning away from what you're supposed to be focused on gets in the way. And that's just with driving. That's a part of life. However, and even more important, we are not to be distracted from life, period, because our main focus should always be Christ. Now, I think the habit today for Christians is to find spiritual moments, moments to be a Christian, but then I can live the rest of my life. While he's letting us understand, I'm supposed to always be alert. You probably would be surprised on what is distracting us today. What things are catching our attention when we're supposed to be completely focused? Turn your bulletins over. If you notice at the top of the page, it says, us not focusing on the right priority is too common with today's Christians. Okay, way too common. This is a practice almost endorsed by others for us to do. It says in Luke 10, 39-42, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted, everybody say distracted, by all the preparations that she had that had to be made. Now, stop for a minute, because some of us will go, wait, that's not a distraction, that's important. Wait, that's not a distraction, that's a requirement, that's a responsibility. But that's what he's showing us here when he shows us and uses the word distraction. And in life, we allow, and everybody say allow, things to get in the way of what our main focus should be, that is Christ. This is a very easy concept, especially in today, because we have given so much weight to so many other things. It says she was distracted with the things that needed to be done, that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. In other words, this other stuff, even though, Lord, I see you and all this other stuff is important, tell her to come help me do this important stuff. Look what Jesus says, and this is why it's so important. He says, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing, everybody say one thing, is needed. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. In other words, let's say she straightened up, got the house straight, and everything was needed. What's going to happen the next day? It's going to be a mess again. Okay, now, please don't use this as an excuse not to clean your house and say, Pastor, it's going to be a mess again. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is we can't allow everyday life to be a distraction at all. Y'all with me? We cannot allow anything to be a distraction. Now, you know, as I'm saying it, we're saying amen, or we're shaking our heads yes and all that, but we still do it, don't we? I mean, stuff that seems so important still gets in the way of God. Still means more than God. Think about it. How many of you know, well, I should have been doing this, but whatever that but is your distraction. It can be work. It could be your family. It could be, and if you notice, I'm naming things that the world would say this is a noble, strong thing. Everybody get that? You understand that? All right? But it's still a distraction if it gets in the way of God. God is not going to look at it the way we do. You know, some of us will give people a pass for the simple fact that they're doing something that the world calls noble. Well, I know I should have been doing what the Lord said, but I was spending time with my family. I know I should have been doing what the Lord said, but I was working on my job and working harder or whatever. I know I should have been doing what the Lord said. And you hear all this stuff sounds good, and we think God's going to go, that's great. Well, God's going to say to us the same thing he said to the guy with the talent, wicked and lazy servant. Basically, you got to do what I'm telling you, because only one thing matters. Do y'all get this? Everything else must be done through that. Martha should have gone, Jesus is coming over. I can't miss Jesus. So if I don't straighten up the house, he's going to see a messy house, but I'm not going to miss out on Jesus. Do y'all get this? Not, oh, yeah, clean up the house. It got to look good. Sometimes we put stuff that is meaningless before the thing that is meaningful. God, remember, you're missing out, and it's hurting you when you do that. And God's not going, you know, you meant well. It's hurting you. It's coming back, and it's hurting you. So that distraction is such a dangerous thing. Our lives should display our focus on Christ. And I should say our complete focus on Christ. Titus 1, 15 through 16 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. Now, let me stop there for a minute, because as we talk about pure, we immediately think he's talking about to the people that are good, then everything is good. No, that's not what it said. Pure means it is 100% of what it's supposed to be. That's pure. It doesn't have any additives, nothing added to it, okay? So when he's saying to those who are pure, if I am a pure Christian, then I see things 100% what God says. When I am not 100% Christian, and you can't, you're either a Christian or you're not. Please understand it. But you do get these people in between that still call themselves Christian. He was like, but to them, he's saying, and they're not pure. He was like, nothing, it says those who are corrupted and do not believe, nothing is pure. In other words, one day it'll be good, next day it'll be bad. They'll do stuff out of the Bible for this thing, but they'll ignore it out of the Bible for this thing. You got where I'm coming from. That's why it goes on to say, in fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. Okay? Now, how is this a distraction? Because if I'm pure, I'm always God-focused in everything. Everybody say everything. Everything I do is going to be based on the Bible. Not some things. Not a few things. And definitely not most things. Why did I say definitely not? Because you have some that are almost with, well, I'm 80%, and God will ignore this 20%, but I leave that for myself. God is saying, if you're leaving any for yourself, keep it all. Does that make sense? Hold on to it all. Don't get caught up into any of it. Because either I'm going to be 100% him or I'm not. Okay? The difference between 10% cyanide and 5% cyanide, there's still cyanide. It's going to kill you. Do you get where I'm coming from? It's corrupt. All right? And so if you add just a little of something else, and unfortunately, all of us have that something else that we need to get rid of out of our lives. We have some other ideology, some other pattern. It could be some sort of tradition. It could be something we do all the time. It could be something that we always have that we know has nothing to do with God, but, right? But we're so busy patting ourselves on the back for the stuff that we do have, we think that's going to give us a pass. But like he's saying, those who are corrupted, it says both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They don't even know when to be convicted. They don't know when to do the right thing. They'll give people a pass on things that God is saying is downright wrong. You'll go, oh, that's okay. Well, God is going, wait, what are you doing? Clearly, Bible say clearly you shouldn't be doing this. And you'll be telling people God doesn't care about that. Corrupted. It goes on to say they claim to know God, but their actions, they deny him. Remember how we know each other by their fruit? Because you can tell. Watch a person's life. And if a person is 100% God-purposed, you'll be able to ask, explain that thing you just did. Well, the Bible says. It'd be no doubt. Well, the Bible says. And you'll even see them. Even if they're wrong, you'll see them aiming to do what the Bible says. Those who don't, they'll give you the, well, the way I feel. Well, the way I think. Well, I've always heard. Y'all see the problem here. And this is what causes distractions, because we allow so many other things to come in. It says they are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. That sounds harsh, but he's trying to let you know if you're on the other side, you're doomed and you're causing problems for others. You either are or you're not. Do you get this? So here's an example of how distractions can endanger our spiritual walk. Matthew 14, 28-31 says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. So all that worked out. He reached out to Christ in a prayer, basically talking to him face to face, and he made a request. God answered him and said, come. All that should have been it. Everything should have been covered. But watch this. In this blessing that he had to do exactly what God answered his prayer, he said, then Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But, now here's the problem. And this is what happens a lot of times. We pray to God for something, we get that something, then but. All right, why does that show up? What happens? When he saw. Now, the Bible says to walk by faith. What's the next word? Not. Walk by faith, not by sight. Not. So sight shouldn't be included. Now, if we're being honest, most of us walk by faith and by sight. Or walk by faith mostly by sight. or some of us think our faith is based on sight, even though he clearly says not by sight. I'll hear Christians today still call other things a blessing by how they see it. Hey, this really worked out, right? This really did what it was supposed to do. Instead of, did we do what God said? Because we're walking by sight. And Peter saw. Now, he went through the faith part of it, seeing something that you cannot do. And he asked, God, give me the ability to do something I cannot do, which is walking on water. He said, come on. He did it. Then he saw. It says he saw the wind was he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? Not only do I need faith to receive the blessings of the prayer, I have to have faith to continue the blessings of that answered prayer. Catch that. A lot of times we get that something and we think that something now can run itself. No, I now have to live in faith for it and not be distracted by my sight. Major and important. So I have to be pure in God's word, 100% God's word, and 100% walking by faith. And I bet you a lot of Christians today, if they heard this, would say, that's impossible. Who does that? And that's what's pretty bad today. Because people will say that. You'll hear Christians that go, nobody does that. We're so far away from God today, this seems impossible, even though that's what the Bible is telling us to do. It's saying 100%. But we have lowered the standard so much that we think that God's going to lower it for us. So what are some distractions? Watch this. Distractions are from any source and many reasons. Matthew 13, 18 through 19 says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it. So that's the first thing. So how many of you come here? You're hearing the word. Now, some of you will think how it should work is you come to church and we water it down so much that you understand it immediately and you go, amen. Why? I don't have to go home and study. Remember, it's like that in school. You know, if I can get away with listening in school and not doing homework, man, that was a good day at school. All right. But this is life. In fact, it's purposely given to us for us to study. Okay. But it says when some don't understand it, the next move should be, I got to make sure I get this. But that's not what happens. He shows something here. He says, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. And this is the seed sown along the path. So because of my lack of understanding, I don't advance or do anything else. It's gone. There are sermons y'all hear and you'll go. And that's it. Never hear about it again. Hope I don't bring it up again. Hope we don't talk about it. Even though you've seen stuff in the Bible and it was stuff that maybe you need to ask more questions about. No, he might keep talking. No, then I got to stay longer. No, then I got to go over this again. No, it might change something in my life. And Satan goes, yeah, I'll take that. And then you move on living wrong. Do y'all catch this? That's a distraction. So we allow not moving any further. Watch this in Mark 4, 16 through 19. Others, like seeing sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. So in other words, you hear, you're getting it. You know, I need to get this word. You're not letting anything stop you from receiving the word. But watch this. But they have no roots. We talked about this last week. See, that goes back to that corruption, people who are pure. If I'm pure, I'm 100% Christian. That means I'm 100% living for Christ. And you're going to see me break up my neck to find out exactly what God wants, and that's exactly what I want to do. Those who don't have a root will apply God when convenient. Think about that. Now, I have my life all set up. I have my views and all this set up. And God, just tell me where, and I'll stick you somewhere in my life. Did y'all catch this? I'm going to put you somewhere in my life, God, but don't take over my life. Think about that, right? We conveniently apply Christ when it works out for us, but don't change anything in my life. Do y'all get this? And that's what it says. They have no root. See, if I have a root, I'm 100% him. When I have no root, I'm just a plant sitting on top of dirt. There's really no foundation. There's nothing there. It says, but they have no root. They last only a short time. Watch this. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word. Why do they last only a short time? The Bible tells you what you're getting ready to go through, good and bad. The Bible tells you how to deal with these things, good and bad. And it blows my mind when I see Christians go through it and they panic. Why is this happening? Why is God doing this to me? Blah, blah, blah. And not the panic part. It's the part of, you had time to prepare and did not. You had the opportunity to prepare, chose not. Do you get where I'm coming from? Okay? Remember, Job, who didn't have the access to Holy Spirit like we did, had complete disaster in every aspect of his life, and all he could do was praise God. Amen? Okay? But man, we're devastated when we see these things. And that's why he says they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. So then we allow, once again, desires. What about my bills tomorrow? Am I going to be able to do this? Oh, how am I going to keep this job? I have this thing that I have to go check with the doctor. I have the worries of life, right? And the desires for other things. How come I can't have this? I really want that. I really look forward to this. Man, I can't wait to do that. No word. You get absolutely nothing about the word. It's crazy how sometimes the Bible, you'll get something taught out the Bible. Because you're somewhere else, you totally miss the whole message. If we're being honest, how many times have you sat in church? The only thing you remember is, what time is it to go? Right? You allowed yourself to go astray, and then by the time you came back, it was, I'm not going to try to catch up. And you don't. Not realizing that message is 100% for you. Amen? And which we miss out on something very important because of all these other distractions. We allow our past to be a distraction. Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it says, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Now, this is very important because a lot of times we hang on to what has happened. It doesn't mean you totally erase what has happened. It just means it can't be purpose in what you do. And that's why he says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Now, the forgetting what is behind is not allowing it to be the purpose. A lot of us live our lives because of where we came from or what we didn't have or what we went through. So many people are so stuck in the past, it holds them trapped that they'll never grow. Well, I always messed up, so I'm always going to mess up. See how they do that? Well, I remember they hurt me this way, so they're always going to hurt me. Well, we've always done this, so we're always going to do this. Now, I'm not saying the Bible says it'd be a fool not to acknowledge things of the past, but you recognize them to fix the future. In other words, straining forward towards God, towards the goal of what God says. Not clinging on to, but let me go back to what you did. Let me go back to how I was. Let me go back to what I was. Do you understand this? That's a huge distraction in our lives. Instead of God saying, no, I want to use you. You're too busy going, but I'm not. But I was. Instead of going, he says, straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Another huge distraction is partnering with wrong people. It says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be misled. It starts off with that clear warning. Don't be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. One thing I always bring to your attention, the word that's missing. The word may or the word could. It doesn't say that. It's saying bad company corrupts. He's saying, oh, this is going to happen. You know what I mean? If I have people in my life who are not Christians, who do not give Christian advice, who do non-Christian things, I will be corrupt. Remember, we saw what corruption does. Okay, corruption means they'll say stuff, even though they know you're a Christian, because they have nothing to do with Christianity, thinking they're helping you, and you'll be corrupt. They thinking they're encouraging you, and you'll be corrupt. You'll take what they're saying, not what God says. Do y'all catch this? He's saying it will. Bad company. Now, our relationship with non-Christians should be that of ministering. Shouldn't be partnership. Do you understand? Should not be partnership. Remember, he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So there should be a ministering relationship that we have with each other. Okay? So we have that partnering wrong people. We let situations distract us. 2 Timothy 4. 4-5. It says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths, but you keep your head in all situations. Now, what's he saying here? The 2 Timothy 4 is the thing we're saying people will turn their heads from sound doctrine. Okay? So it's showing us in this verse, he was saying they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. They'll allow their situations to take on things that they want to hear and not what God says. But he says, you keep your head in all situations. Now, why is that so important for Christians today? I see Christians, you're a step away or a situation away of leaving God. Your one situation. If you lost your job, you'll leave God. If sickness happened, you'll leave God. If you don't feel right, you'll leave God. Some of us, it's just a hair trigger of leaving God. You think you're doing God a favor staying with God, right? I've heard people who gave the threat, man, if God did this, I'm gone. And you're kind of like, wait, that's like telling the hospital, man, if they do this, I'm leaving. You do know you're in there for you to get better. All you did is free up another bed for somebody else to come in. Do you get this? Do you realize how foolish that is? But we don't, because we don't keep our heads in all situations. You'll go in a situation prepared for God to help you instead of you going in there thinking you're doing God a favor. He says, keep your head in all situations, and watch what he says. Endure hardship. Did he say try to get out of hardship? Did he say pray for a breakthrough out of hardship? No, he says endure it. That means deal with it. I'm going to put you through some things, and they're going to be tough. I need you to deal through them. I need you to go through them. Endure hardship. That's the first thing. He says to do the work of an evangelist. That, now, an evangelist, if you remember the five forms of ministry, as we see, evangelism is a traveling minister. Okay, so all of us have evangelism in us. And what that means is everywhere I go, I'm supposed to minister. Now, that doesn't mean I go preaching at people. It means my life is to display Christ all the time, even when I'm on vacation, just going to the supermarket, going to the store, when I'm sitting at the movies, when I'm sitting in traffic. I'm supposed to evangelize in how I do things. When I get the opportunity to talk, I better be talking or displaying Christ. So do the work of an evangelist is what I have to do, secondly. And thirdly, it says discharge all the duties of your ministry. Understand you're here for a purpose to serve God. Do not allow those things to be hindered. And that's why he says in all situations. Make sure you understand you're here for a job. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? Make sure you're focused to do your job. Just do your part. There was a sports team and they lost. And if you watch the game, the one guy in this game played as if they were winning. I mean, he played his heart out the entire game. And when it ended, somebody asked, why did you keep playing like that? He said, I'm here to do a job. Do you understand that? Y'all were losing. You might as well go on and say, no. I'm here to do a job. You know, there's a lot of us go, I'm not running anymore. Ain't no way I'm going to win. That's not what he said. Right? You're going to be scheduled on how hard did you try? Does that make sense? You ever see people run track and somebody's left far behind, but he's still running hard like he's going to win the race? Same thing. You got to do, I'm responsible for me in this race, not all the stuff I see around me. So I got to discharge what I'm responsible for. And your excuses of, well, it wasn't working anyway. Nobody's going to listen anyway. That cannot work. As a pastor, I can't go, well, you know, nobody's listening. Nobody's doing this. God's going to go, what did I tell you to do? My excuse can't be, well, they're not listening. That can't be it. It's you do what I tell you. I'll take it from there. Does that make sense? So we must not allow the situations to take place. Our families and our lives can be distractions. Matthew 10:37-39 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now you have two choices in life. You can try to make life as pleasurable and as desirable to you, and it's going to be taken. Okay? In other words, no matter what you do, it'll be temporary. You may say, I have everything right in the right place. I get rid of the people I don't want. I got situations the way I want. I have it just where I want. It's going to go. And I don't mean it may go next week or a couple of months. I'm talking about eventually when you die, it's gone. And then you got to deal with eternity. Okay, so what he's given us here is not some selfish restriction. It's, as he always does, a loving protection. What he's saying, no, I need you to love them through me. I need you to live your life for me. Then that's eternity. Okay, the dangerous things, you have very comfortable, especially in our country today, we have very comfortable people. And man, so comfort's the path. I'm going to be comfortable. And we live for comfort. And then once we get to that comfortable spot, we're like, don't let anybody touch it. And then you die. And when you go with God and you meet with him, he's not going to go, hey, let's get you back to this comfortable place. It's going to be very uncomfortable if we're not careful. Does that make sense? Everybody with me, okay? So you understand that even our family, when we allow it to be a distraction, I don't care if you say, God, look how happy everybody was. We all got along. It was this and that. He's going to go, you do understand y'all were going on the wrong path. I'm trying to get you on the right path. You couldn't see it, but you're going on the wrong path. Don't let the temporary distract you. And our talents and experiences are a distraction. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Everybody say no confidence. So what he's showing us here is he didn't say some or very little. He said no confidence in the flesh. None. Do you understand? And even though, once again, this is one of those things that we say, but some of us still do. We still lean upon more on our degree. We still lean upon our friends. There's a lot of us who still depend on people in a fleshly way. I know my brother or my sister won't let me down. I know this thing that I have will pay my bills. Oh, I know this talent that I have, I'll always have a job. Oh, I'm able to do that. Have you ever heard that? Instead of always saying in all things, God willing. Does that make sense? Yeah, I mean, true trust would only trust in God, knowing people are going to fail. Right? You'll have all of these things and an understanding of how to do them in the right way if we did it focused on God completely. But unfortunately, if we really look at our lives, we're probably a certain percentage spiritual and a whole lot more fleshly. Right? There are a lot more of us who have more trust in our 401ks than we have in Christ Jesus. Am I right? Majority of us have more trust in the job that we're at than we have in God. Correct? A lot of us put a lot more trust in our spouse or our children than we do in Christ Jesus. Right? Distractions. Dangerous distractions. And our biggest distraction of all is us. Galatians 5:19-21 says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. It's the sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And he says, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what he's plainly making clear to us, when I live for me, I'm going to hell. Can he make it any? That's why he says, I warn you, as I did before, those who live like this. So I can be a professing Christian, but how are you living? I can say I'm a Christian and I honor God, but what is my main sole purpose in everything that I do? And he shows us. He's like, now, if you want to know, here's the evidence, and it's obvious. If these things come before God, you're doomed. Because I allow what I want to be a distraction. We have a whole entire sermon that we did on this dangers of distraction, or dangers of desires. And we allow what we want to trump God. And we're so deep in it today, we really think, man, I'm going to live to fulfill everything I want, and I'm going to heaven. Even though he says, no, I told you like I told you before. And some are going to still be surprised. What? I'm going where? And it'll be too late. And he showed us this. So in a nutshell, distractions can be from anything and everything. So how do I stay focused and not become distracted? First of all, we need to continually have our minds stimulated. Continually have our minds. What does that mean? 2 Peter 3, verse 1 says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Now, what is he saying here? In other words, I still need this reminder. Okay, even as a pastor, I still need to hear and receive the word as a stimulation or reminder. Why? Because I'm surrounded by fleshly stimulation. Do you get this? That's all the time. So I need to now counter it with spiritual stimulation. So if Satan get me to be distracted, I'll only do this some of the time. Did y'all get this? And I'll be overly stimulated by the flesh. So I have to get the word. You don't just come to church and say you went to church. You come here to regenerate your mind on the right path. How many of you had a week? And unfortunately, it shouldn't be a week because every day you should be in the word. Okay? But that's one thing. Okay? You have access to certain things that you go in to get your mind stimulated, which you should have access to. If you don't, I'm telling you, you are being stimulated otherwise. You're looking in other ways, and things are pulling you. So that's why it says the word has to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. If not, I'm telling you, you'll have these things in which you'll feel, well, I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think this is wrong. I don't think this is too bad. While you have full access to the word. Secondly, daily prioritize everything as trash if not filtered through Christ. We gave this as an exercise one time. I don't know if anybody followed it. All of us should be following it. This thing of prioritizing, and the good thing about prioritizing, you don't put God first, you put God always. Think about that. There's a difference. See, some of us think I put God first. I pray when I get up in the morning, and I say this, and I do my good deeds. Then I put me, or I put others, and I put all that sounds great. No. God is always. What that means is everything I do is Christ's purpose. How I do for others better be based on Christ. When I go to work, better be based on Christ. How I am in my relationships, better be based on Christ. How I raise my children, better be based on Christ. He comes down to show us in Philippians 3, 7 through 8, but whatever was to my profit, everybody say my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Now look at what he's saying here. The things that I did that made me happy, I'm trashing those in order that I'm living to glorify Christ. Y'all see a difference here? See, some of us do stuff, most of us do stuff to make us happy, right, instead of doing what he said. Bad thing about it, as we talked about last, we raise our kids in that way. We'll do something for our child and we'll go, did you see how happy they were? Then when you tell them to do something and they don't, you don't realize how devastating that is. And we're doing the same thing to Christ. We think Christ is going to come down here and go, Keith, but you were happy. Even though you didn't do what I told you to do, you were happy. Is that what's going to happen? Can you find anywhere in God's word where he's going to come down here and go, I know you didn't do what I told you to do, but you were happy. Do y'all get this? And that's the dangerous thing that we're teaching and we're showing this. But when I recognize that, I go, you know what? This thing about me being happy is going in the trash. Me glorifying Christ is what I live for. He was like, whatever was to my profit, I consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. In other words, if I see anything hindering my relationship with Christ, it's gone. And anything is included in everything. It's gone. There won't be, yeah, I really need to grow with Christ, but I've been so busy. Yeah, I know I really need to grow with Christ, but my family takes so much of my time. Yeah, I know I really need to spend more time with Christ, but my job is, you know, so involved. You'll go, oh, there's going to be some adjustments in my family. If I have to look for a new job, I will. If I did, you see what I'm saying? But you're like, this is eternity. All of those other things I named are temporary. People die. Jobs go. Health comes and goes. Do you understand? All that stuff is temporary. You keep living for the temporary. Hopefully you get all you want out of it. Because then you have to live for eternity. That's why he makes clear, he says, for whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. So that priority, he has to be always. Thirdly, a full change of attitude. James 4, 7 through 10 says, submit yourselves then to God. Okay, that's the first part. Submitting, remember what submitting means? The reason why you hear it, the main thing you usually hear is wives submit to your husbands. And, you know, people kind of roll their eyes and I'm not doing that. We don't understand what that whole concept means of submission. Submission means yielding to their position. Everybody say that. Yielding to their position. Okay, so when I submit to you, whatever your position is in my life, I have to yield to that. Does that make sense? Okay, so in other words, I have a boss at work who is my superior, okay, and I have a person that I work with who's a coworker. If the coworker came and said, Keith, I need you to go do that work over there, I can say no, right? Because he's like me. I'm not doing anything wrong. I have the ability and everything to go, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm doing this other work here, right? And I've done nothing wrong. However, if my boss, still just another person, come to me and say, Keith, I need you to do that work over there, I have to go, got it. I'm on it because he's my boss. In both cases, I submit it. Did y'all catch that? In both cases, to one person's position, I submit it one way, and to another person's position, I submit it another way. So when it says submit to God, he is the Almighty, then why do I always play him as if he's a little less? As if he just plays a portion in my life. A lot of us think we're partners with God. I'm going to go ask God for his suggestions. Then I'll make a decision. That's how some of us live. While he's saying right here, submit yourselves then to God. Well, you go to God for the answer. Does that make sense? It's a much bigger difference than you going up there saying, okay, God, I'm going to ask you. In other words, I'm going to read what the Bible says. Then I'll make a decision. When a person submits, it's, I'm going to do exactly what my Father tells me. You understand it? He says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil. So I got to do that other part. So do exactly what God says. Don't do what Satan says. You see how that works? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is how we keep him away from us. We're going to read more of this in the sermon. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. First of all, come near to God, and he will come near you. First, let me show you that. Because he's always there. Remember, it says God so loved the world. All right, so some people like to play as if God takes his love away from us. That's the thing that we mess up on. God never takes his love away from anybody. Okay? God's love is always there for us. Does everybody get that? Okay? However, we can leave his love. There's a couple of verses that say, stay in God's love. So when I choose to go do something else, I'm outside of God's love. So he's basically saying, I'm here, so come to me so I can come to you. He's waiting for us to come to him. That's why it says to us, to come near to God, and he will come near to you. Then he says, wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He's saying to us, some of us are living what's called a double life. And there's really no such thing, but he's showing us that, in other words, I'm a Christian here, but man, I do my thing over here. And I'm a Christian here, but I try to, he's letting you know, no, get rid of that. Either or. He's like, stop sinning if you're not a sinner. In other words, if you're living for Christ. And double-minded. Double-minded means exactly that. When I'm around certain friends, I'm one way. But when I'm around my Christian friends, I'm another way. He's like, well, then you're playing games. If you're going to be on the street, be in the street. Do your thing. Go out there. Whatever happens, happens. If you're for God, be for God. 100%. He makes it clear. He says, then he goes in 9, which always confuses people. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. And what he's saying is, stop living for your emotional or your personal happiness. Understand what's really going on. If we really sat here, remember, this world is headed for destruction. There are people dying and eternally going to hell. You'll stop and go, what am I doing? Right? Right? You'll live for urgency. There was a disaster that happened at a hospital. And a lot of people were being brought in, and a lot of them were life or death. What if the doctor would have said, it's my lunchtime? Oh, I deserve a break. What I'm showing you here is, in our lives, we keep living for all this other stuff, and there's urgent things that need to be done by us. The reason why we're slow to grow is because, I got other stuff to do. Well, I don't feel like doing. Well, I'm not comfortable doing. Well, I don't like doing. But when you grieve, mourn, and you understand, wait a minute, this is a devastating place. We got a short time. And if I don't say something to this person, or if I don't react, if I don't minister, we could lose them forever. He made it very clear. He says, grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. All this is saying, let go of you, allow him. Stop being distracted by all these other things. Make heavenly things your permanent focus. Colossians 3, verse 2 says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. This is just like walk by faith, not by sight. And even though I'm saying this, and it's such a small verse, just like the other one, walk by faith, not by sight. Everybody say not. How come then are we still focused on God and on work? Focus on God and on the things going on down here. Why are we still focused and not? You're saying, well, am I not supposed to go to work? Am I not supposed to look after my family? That's not what he said. Focus on my on heavenly ways of dealing with my family. Focus on heavenly ways of doing my job. Focus on heavenly ways of dealing with situations. In other words, if I came to you and said, so how did you deal with that? Well, the Bible said, so I. Not, well, we did this and it made everybody happy, so we're. Do y'all see where I'm going with this? It'll be answered fully based on him. And that's why he says, set your minds on things above. So I have to know every day how to deal in every situation God purposed. Every situation God purposed. Amen? And lastly, continually bring everything to your Father and adjust your thoughts. He says in Philippians 4, 6-8, do not be anxious about anything. Now what he's saying, And in our stressful, in our world where people are depressed, in our world where people are frustrated, he's telling you not to be. Now, some are saying, how can I be? I feel. And that's one of, this, one of the verses that kind of displays to us, it's not based on our feeling, it's based on what he says. You'll feel a certain way. That's called desire. All right? He was like, don't live in that feeling, live in his faith. Does that make sense? So if I live in his faith, when he tells me not to be anxious, I might feel anxious, but I'm not going to live based on that feeling, is what he's saying. But he's giving me the alternative. What do I do? It says, but in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So prayer is me, what I'm doing every day, talking to him. Petitioning is laying out everything. Yeah, have you ever gone and you heard them explain, well, God, I really want to do this, and if you do this, I want to do this, and I understand. You're pleading your case is what petitioning means. And then by far the most important part, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is for him, but it's also for you to recognize, you know what, God, I'm thanking you if you say yes, and I'm thanking you if you say no. I thank you for even giving me this opportunity to be able to bring this to you. Do y'all get this? All right, so you're thanking him. And then it says, watch this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, in other words, it makes no sense, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. That's the outcome. The outcome is, even though I feel anxious, I will be at peace. And not just at peace in Christ. You don't want to just be at peace. That's dangerous. Okay? Human peace is dangerous. Human happiness, dangerous. Okay? Because it's a false sense of security. However, godly peace, outstanding. You know, godly joy is where you want to be. Because the whole world can crush around you, man. You're going to go ahead for Christ. We were just talking about in the group how Paul could be in jail and show how, man, this is ministering. He was in a bad situation and rejoiced in it. Even when he got that thorn, man, he says, I'm going to rejoice all the more. Why? Because he was spiritually focused. And then when he says this, it shows us what our focus should be. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Key word, whatever is. That's the key word. Why am I saying that? Because a lot of us will fill in this blank with wrong things. Think about that. Let God answer that answer, give you the answer for that. So when he says whatever is true, go to the word. Don't give your definition of whatever is true. Because some of the things you're thinking on, really not true. Some of the things that are noble, let God tell you what noble is. And you know, give you a hint, all this is talking about Christ. And your focus will be on Christ and his different characteristics and all about him. And you'll focus on that every day you wake up and everything you do and all that you do. Let's get focused at all times and stop being so distracted. Amen?